Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look at us. All together.
Are we on?
Once again, we are on. That's right.
Are we dead? We still alive?
Spaced out there.
Oh, we're here. I know. Well, it's two things. Our producer... We potentially had some serious issues today.
Did the Senators fire their coach? What happened? DJ?
Power outage.
Oh.
At Alex's house, our producer. No power. Pay your bills, you cheap bastard. Hey, I got no power. No power. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Well, they ain't going to turn it on until you pay your bill.
Pay your bill, Alex. So, yeah, there was a bit of scrambling behind the scenes, but then I guess he talked to... Was it Ontario?
Collections?
Something, yeah.
Hydro?
And we're here and we're back. But there's, so that, I mean, that's an issue.
Okay.
And also, our boy, the Redster, very distracted today.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Very distracted.
I'm always distracted when a TV's on, but even more so. And the toughest part about this is the Masters is on the TV now.
I know.
And when the Masters is on, you just want silence.
You want to recline, you want a comfortable couch, not a hard couch.
With no pillows.
It doesn't have pillows. Yeah. There's been a lot of complaints filed.
Kind of coming in and out of consciousness for the whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice putt.
Oh, Fitzpatrick, wonderful. Okay. Oh,
hey, yeah.
He's been back for a week, and we're finding out just how things are going here.
Yeah, he's letting us know.
He's letting us know how things are going. The couch is...
Here's an idea I've got.
The couch is okay, but the arms are too hard, and there's too many cables, and...
Cables are...
If I was in charge of couches, they wouldn't have these hard armrests. Yeah. They'd be softer so someone could place their head on it. Well, we never thought about that.
Blame Wolfie. Wolfie bought them.
We have a green screen behind Red. He's not actually on Scotsman Hill today, which I think he might have been the other day. I don't remember.
I used to run up that hill. Training.
Yeah, picking up chicks, probably, to be honest.
It's training, you know?
Yeah, right. I was wondering if we could put him like... Augusta National. I don't know who's in charge of the green screen. It's probably a conversation that we had before the show.
Yeah,
I didn't think
the
about
show,
it
for sure,
until I saw him on the show. But, you know, at some point, it'd be nice to get Rhett. Would you have a favorite hole at Augusta?
No, any hole at Augusta.
Okay. Maybe even that the little food hut with the menu we showed the other day. $1.50 pimento sandwiches.
Pimento sandwiches.
Yeah.
Is that like a bucket list? You want to go? Go to watch, go to play. Does it matter? Do you care?
Playing is damn near impossible.
Yes.
You really have to be something. And to be honest with you, as much as I would like to play, if somebody said, here, I have one spot, I would give it to someone that it would mean more to.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way with you. It's like, I don't want to ruin up your dream Masters thing with me shooting 105 and like cursing.
Well,
you with like, my shoulders hurt today. This isn't fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'll caddy. I'd rather caddy.
And there's people that this is their, this would be the pinnacle of their life.
Exactly.
And it'd be like, that's.
You know someone that would deserve this more than
I'm,
me.
I know I would enjoy it and it would be amazing, but it would mean so much more to someone else.
Do they still do the the media thing?
Yes, it's a draw, and there's a lot of media there. The media center is world-renowned, and so you have people from probably 20 to 50 countries there covering the event. Everyone puts their name in, and then you find out, I believe Sunday or Monday, who in the media draw has been pulled, and it's sort of a numbers game. If you're there enough years, you're going to get called to play it in the fucking tournament conditions 2 days after or whatever.
Because Eric Francis did the 1 year, right?
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which Francis is ever could which get a break. Is zero shock to anybody. Yeah.
Nice to see him something land on his lap.
I'm
there.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
No, that's, I think that sounds right. That definitely sounds like something that would happen to Francis.
And it gotta be how prick a move it would be for someone like me, mm-hmm. who's very indifferent towards golf.
Yes.
I guess I'll go play.
I could see you walking where? Off.
Augustus? What is it?
I think it's in Georgia.
Where is it? Like Kentucky? Augusta National.
And you're like, yeah, I was tired. I walked after 12. It was hilly.
Very steep.
So I've always been a 12-hole guy. So, you know, they're like, what? You left on 12, you asshole? Amen corner? You didn't play 16?
Yeah, it'd be good. See, I think that would be a better story than telling people, oh, I got to play Augusta. It was unbelievable. Really? Wow. Yeah. Now, you've golfed Pebble.
Yeah.
Have you gone to Europe to have a big?
I have not gone to Europe. I'm a great, what are those courses called, Pinder? Where did you... Hit and run, all or everything.
Hit and run?
Well,
bump and run. Bump sure. And okay, runs, yeah.
You don't fly the ball as much. It's
links golf.
Links.
Links golf.
The word. Yeah. The big golfers here. Big golfers. Struggling at the
moment. Stay tuned to Barnburner for our in-depth Masters coverage. Do you want to give us some play-by-play here? What do we got?
I'm terrible at play-by-play. I like watching guys chunk it into the drink, though.
So beautiful today.
Yeah, like really nice. Like almost 30, sunny, minimal wind, a little breeze, that's it. And then it's just going to be wet, 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 wet Friday, Saturday. Sunday a little better. Monday's nice.
I think that's good for me. The way my weekend is shaping, it would be great to have the final round on Monday.
I'd like to invite everyone to join our Masters pool, but I've got horrible news. The Masters has begun. You've missed it if you're not in. Now, the good news is 521 people got in under the wire.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that great? Got some prizing.
Can you tell us about the prizing?
Yeah. So Derek Newman, our buddy on Afterburner, our realtor pal, Derek Newman of Newman Dean's Realty.
Your pal. My pal. I don't know the guy at all.
You could be there with a buddy on the Glencoe Forest, the toughest course in Alberta with Derek and myself. A little summer round of drinks. Golf. Let's have some fun. Also, if you don't like me or the Glencoe Forest or Derek, like yourself, you could opt for a new bag and a putter.
Yeah.
We also have $150 from Mad Rose and GC's. Ooh. You can hammer some pies, like those fried and then baked wings. Yeah. Oh, look at Rhett. Isn't that amazing?
Happy you must be. Hey, look at.
And then also, we got some Barnburner gear we have away. So right now, I would suggest we've got prizing for the top four and potentially even the top five.
Can you make that second shot here?
Vic, is he in the trap there?
Short he's side on the himself? Far side of the trap. Oh, yeah.
Is he going to flop it over?
Got to flop.
See, the thing
downhill
I like...
lie.
You love the Masters because it's just captivating visually.
Yes, right? It is.
It's just with the when HD hit, HD TV, it's like it's like watching a different sport. And then with the technology, so many more cameras and they're on the course and all of this. It's so great to watch. It's green, it's beautiful.
Tiger!
Look at this. And nice shot. More often than not, the conditions are great. I was always disappointed when you'd watch the British Open.
And it's
windy and rainy. I want to watch good golfers play good golf.
And it becomes why the British Open, the Open Championship is the Open. It's that's you're now dealing with elements. Golf in a part of the world where the elements are a massive part of it. And you have to play differently. You have to be able to ad lib. You won't be able to see a lot of pins. It feels like a different sport.
That's
right?
Why it's good for us, Boom, because even if we see the pin,
The Open is great for Boom is because he's usually getting up around 2 when he can't sleep, and that's when you can watch it live.
That's true, yeah.
Because that's like, you know, midday. And
you can use your putter the whole way around.
So with the Open Championships, if I want to watch shit golf, I'll just go myself. I go out to play.
Not shit
play,
golf. It's difficult conditions. Those courses are majestic.
You call it what you want to call it.
All right.
Welcome to the program. We are we're taking the option tomorrow. We're exercising our option. We will have a long weekend, like most people will.
It's set.
So this is our final show before next week. The Flames, a massive win last night, 3-1 over the Winnipeg Jets.
I didn't see Afterburner. I am wondering where we're at in the jilted lover position.
Well, I asked Rhett, It's like, do you believe?
Do you believe?
And he said, you know what? Why not? I'm going to believe. And I said, because it's the jilted lover, I'm not going to be fooled again. I am going to say that I've lost belief.
Okay.
Just because I saw Anaheim and I saw Chicago, and here we are.
There's an Arizona in there. There's three Chicagos.
Yeah.
But Philly.
It just feels like recently now with when you're really dialed into the chase and they've played some, there have been some impressive outings and then they've followed it up with just deplorable efforts.
10-4-2 in their last 16.
I know. But tell me about the four.
Yeah, well, the 10's been pretty impressive. The four is like how these teams, how? Like, okay, you lost LA. We get it.
So they got three left, so they could be 13-4-2, and they basically have to win them all, right?
I would suggest, unless you think the Jets are going to not win games and the Preds
all right,
are going
to. And this is what I said to Boom last night. So how much of a mortgage are you taking out on your house?
What are the odds, baby?
For San Jose on the last game of the year and plopping it down for
I'd love to know the stakes. Like, I have this sense that if the Flames play well and that Wednesday game means something, we won't know at the end whether they're in or not because Nashville still has two games left Thursday, Friday.
For the sake of this, and I know you need to know the stakes all the time.
Yeah, I'm just laying out the context here.
Let's just say that, yes, the game matters.
So in and winning, they're in. That's what you're
suggesting. It's not even in.
Okay.
It's just they just have to win. So they win the next two games, and it's San Jose. To get a chance, they have to win. How much of your house are you willing to put up?
A very, very small amount.
Okay.
I would love to bet $5, but no. Like, nothing house. Jesus.
I know.
Wife would kill me.
So 3-1 final. Markstrom was terrific. 34 saves. An Ehlers breakaway save in the third period. The 2-on-1 Dubois and Scheifele. He was strong. The one goal that goes in is a hell of a shot on a power play.
Early. Yeah.
And the Flames had a goal that disallowed. Probably his goaltender interference. Either way.
Yeah, he spin around the goalie whether you meant to or not. It's like that's kind of the rule. It should have been called that way. It was. Yeah. It was fine.
So I'll ask you what I asked Rhett, and it comes back kind of to just the point of the discussion that we've had. There's the Flames component and then there's the Jets component.
Yeah.
And it's the Jets component that really has allowed the Flames to play a little bit better, but really get themselves back into this hunt. Watching the Jets last night, I'll ask you, what are the Jets? What do you see there?
It didn't look like a club that scored 12 goals their last two games and just came off the heels of beating New Jersey and was well-rested since Sunday. I'll tell you that. That was not what I was expecting at all. And this is also to get back to the Flames, which I don't mean to do, but like, how could you be so flat on the first half of a back-to-back, then travel and have that kind of energy? Like, and I feel that same way about the Jets. Like, you play so well against Jersey Sunday. You got a lot of time. You have an opponent limping in. And I thought the Jets were the better team in the first. The Flames power play got nothing going on. Jets do score. But after that, it was like, it kind of looks like the Flames want it more. That was a good road game from the Flames. And I would worry absolutely about the Jets dropping a game against a very plucky Nashville team. I think they'll have their hands full with Minnesota and Colorado, who it looks very probable will be playing for seeding in their last two games of the year. Like, that's a tough-ass schedule. And I don't think the Jets are better than those teams or have the confidence to play at their best against a plucky team like Nashville.
We talked about it last night. It's the Spider-Man meme. If you talk to Jets fans, they have the same stories that Flames fans
have. It's just
have.
A different order. Yeah.
When there's a big game, they don't show up. They win sometimes win big against tough opponents, and you think they've turned the corner, and then they fall flat against San Jose. Yeah. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. Not beyond like makeup or anything, but I just think down the stretch here, the last little bit, they have been very hard to predict and get a feel for.
I agree. I just don't know how you can get shut out by James Reimer and then come home and beat the Devils 6-2 or 6-1. Like, that's, and again, it's kind of this league. Like, Boston loses to a bad team and there might be the best team ever. Like, it's a sport where underdogs still have like a 1-in-3 chance or better every single night, the biggest underdogs.
And that's why, even the fact that if Colorado and Minnesota do need a win and they are playing for something at the end of the year, it's like, well.
There might be a loser point in there, even if they get outplayed. Yeah,
like,
you don't
Hellebuck
know.
Hellebuck can still win you a game. Like,
I just like those teams more, but again, it's the NHL. A team might be way better and still lose. We see that all the time in this league.
We're here in the Tower Chrysler Studios. Old Serge. Serge said
Surge is wound up.
If they beat Winnipeg and beat Nashville, they're in. They've beaten Winnipeg.
He He didn't say anything about Chicago, and maybe for good reason.
I think he was still kind of an oracle. Stop by Tower Chrysler if you do. Take some food for the food bank in support of the Owen Hart Foundation. They have a one of the Jeeps there in the showroom collecting food. They'll drop it off at the food bank, as mentioned. They've always got something going on that's got their heart is in the right place. They're doing something for other people at all times. They are great partners of ours, and we ask that you do support them. That Jeep that they've got in the showroom.
That they're loading up with the food?
Oh, no, the black one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
All souped up. Looks good.
God. Almost as nice as your Jeep, or what?
It's almost as nice as mine, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Almost. We are going to, there's the Jeep.
Jip.
And there's Martha.
There's Owen.
Owen. So we'll talk a little bit. We got Craig Button coming on, former Flames general manager. He with the Cool Button Hockey Podcast.
Cool Button.
Steve Coolius do the podcast. He, of course, is on TSN and all of that. I would think he'll Director have. Scouting. And they're part of the Nation Network.
Oh, they're our office now.
Yeah, that's right.
They're in the trust tree with us.
They are in the trust tree with us. We'll talk to Craig about how things are going with Steve Coolius, but probably get his take on where the Flames are at. Does he have hope? How much of his house? Is it just the mud room? Does he have a sunroom or a rec room that he would put on the line? We'll see what he says.
Some floor mats in the garage. What do you got
there? Yeah, something like that. The playoff draft is coming up just over a week away now.
Exciting.
I saw somebody on social media throwing out, I want in. Here's what I'm going to.
One of the suggestions I didn't throw out there is that do we open this to just straight bribery? And it really would be our style.
For the kids.
For the kids. The bribery for the kids. Right. And I would think that, just us being upfront and honest with you is why you've come to appreciate us. We're idiots. We're losers. We're dummies. You're better people than us, but at least we're being honest. Yeah. We're open for bribery here.
I believe we should be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's for the kids. It's kids' sport. It's
bribery for the kids.
Paybuilt.com is on board, our presenting sponsor. If you're a small business, big business, it's about accepting payment without crazy chargeback, the risk of chargeback costs. You add payment options for your customers. I was on their website. There are online, and we all do online shopping,
sure.
70% of carts online have stuff in them, but people haven't cashed them out.
Really?
And a lot of it comes down to the one payment that they have isn't accepted, or they're not comfortable using that. That's where Paybuilt comes in. If you have that business, it's a seamless transition. It's a seamless way for your customers to go through and pay, whether it's in store, it's online. If you have an app for your business, you can hook them in that way as well. Everyone's shifting away from cash. Everyone's shifting away from cards. It takes the pain and just kind of the mystery out of paying online for your customers. So if you are a small business, large business, if you're looking for that sort of reassurance to get those 70% that might have stuff in their cart on your website, but have not cashed them through yet, that's where Paybuilt comes in. Paybuilt.com on board as our presenting sponsor. Let's bring in our friend. You know, when we were at the old place, we couldn't talk to him.
Taboo.
TSN. So we couldn't talk to him. But now, one big happy family. There he is. Craig Button, NHL insider from what looks to be his luxurious estate. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I am good. My luxurious estate is only a few blocks away from your studio.
Oh.
You know, I'm just a little bit east of 14th Street. So, I'll have to get up there and see you. And I'm in Montreal right now. But I was able to gather one of the old Buffalo Sabres jerseys. It's hanging right behind me. That's what happened when they washed it in hot water and bleach.
So, is that a Warner 44?
Warner, when he was playing for the Sabres, didn't have to go out and wear that.
Well, it's good to have you, man. Because Frank sent me the notes. Like, well, yeah, let's get Craig on. Let's start talking about everyone's doing podcasts. I guess it's the cool thing. All the kids are into it. You and Steve Coolius have been doing the Cool Button Hockey Podcast for a while now. How long has it been? I know it's not a daily one like we do. A little soft, I suppose, and real guys do it every day. But anyway, you know, whatever. You and Cooley have been doing the Cool Button Podcast. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I worked with Steve for a number of years on That's Hockey Tonight. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, as you guys know, you know, doing a podcast, you know, people are, consuming information and, you know, debate and discussion that goes in with hockey. And it's a great fan base and great people that want to hear, as Mr. Pinder said, you know, the dummies, the fools that we identify with, that we are ourselves, you know, we have a lot of fun with it. But, you know, it's everybody's trying to find their place. I mean, you look at where the trio of you three young men find yourselves now. I mean, you talk about being at Sportsnet, now you move out and you guys are doing tremendous. And, you know, it's not just about the podcast, it's about the personalities. And I think that, you know, you're free, you're open, you're knowledgeable, and you're entertaining. And I think that that's what, you know, really separates good podcasts from ones that are trying to find their way. Certainly Steve and I are trying to find our way in different ways. And I mean, the Barn Burner is a great model for us to look at. Hopefully the cool button can follow in your successful footsteps.
We also have Rhett, who's incredibly committed. He's on scene at the Masters today. It's like, where else you get these insights? There he is. I don't know where the crowds are. That might be a practice hole, but like, this is the dedication we have.
Yeah. Found a great spot to sit down and watch this. I'm not moving.
But it just, and well, we'll kind of put a bone.
Rhett, you have to talk in a low voice when you're at the Masters. Right,
so. Yeah, please keep it down. Please keep it down.
Green, you know, we have a...
But in terms of the podcast, I think people do appreciate podcasts because it does have a little bit more feel of realism. It's that kind of mainstream media. And certainly when you're a rights holder, there is kind of an obligation to be a partner for your partner. And not that we're just taking runs at people now. But I think we were pretty honest before, even as a rights holder. But I think people have really enjoyed Rhett's takes. Do you feel like you were holding back before and you're now... free, or is it just kind of the way it's gone?
I don't think so. You know, Ken King, who was great to me when we started doing this stuff, he said, if you've got a take on things, you got to have something to back it up. Don't just blast people to blast people. And I took that to heart. And I feel like anytime I make a comment on something or someone, I typically believe it and have reason to believe it. So it has been a little... you can let loose a little bit more and the emotion can come be a little more, I don't know, noticeable. But I don't think my opinion on things is different. I think you're just a little bit more open to...
It's, you know what? Last year, we were less critical of the team. Oddly, this year, we're a little bit more critical, Craig, about the Calgary Flames.
Is that the
space Flames.
Or is that something else?
Yeah, I don't, and I don't know that it's because we were doing a podcast or a traditional radio. What do you see? And they get a big win over the Jets last night. It's still, you still feel like they need to run the table. We're kind of unsure what Winnipeg is. It feels like it's uneven play from Nashville and Winnipeg that's let Calgary hang in this thing. I guess just thoughts on the chase and maybe just thoughts on the team for 22-23.
Well, I don't think anybody thought that the Flames would find themselves in the position they're currently in. I mean, obviously we saw the offseason changes and, you know, we can look at a lot of different areas of the team and say, hey, listen, they've fallen short in this area, in that area. And to Rhett's point, I mean, you know, we can be critical as long as it's fair and balanced. And I always said this, don't get personal. Don't get personal. I mean, just because a player makes a bad play doesn't mean he's a bad player. You know, good players make plays that sometimes they know they wish they had back. Goaltenders let in goals that they wish they didn't let in. So, you know, just call it as it is. Be fair, be balanced. And as Rhett said about Ken King, you know, when you have experience and you have an opinion, you know, how you express it in that fair and balanced way is really important. I think Daryl Sutter's a Hall of Fame coach. He's won two Stanley Cups. His record speaks for itself. Last year, we were praising how well he did. I mean, I think he's had a struggle trying to, you know, get individual players to play to their level and the team to play to their level. Jacob Markstrom hasn't been at the same level. Jonathan Huberdeau hasn't found his footing. Nazem Kadri hasn't found, you know, a real place. So, you know, when you think about the changes that the Flames made in the offseason, you know, talent for talent, Huberdeau coming in for Tkachuk, there's talent there. Weegar coming in, talent. You know, Kadri coming in, talent. But it's not just about talent. It's how teams mesh. I mean, Rhett's been to two Stanley Cup finals in 99 and 2004. And you look at those teams, they were really good teams in Buffalo and Calgary. Teams that were hard to play against. And you'd look at them and go, well, geez, you know, who were their stars? Who were they? Who did they have? Hasek in Buffalo. You know, Jerome in Calgary, certainly. But, you know, you look at it, But those were strong teams, and I don't think the Flames ever got that real sense of what I call that esprit de corps, you know, where everybody's playing together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we use the term playing for each other and everything. They just didn't seem to be playing together. And, you know, I think there's enough blame, maybe blame is the wrong word, but I think there's enough responsibility in a lot of different people's areas that will be evaluated. But, I mean, they're on a lifeline, and I don't think they're going to make it. I think once they lost to Chicago on Tuesday night, I think that that sealed the deal for them. And I think for the Preds, to your point earlier, Dean, is that, you know, be careful of the Preds, because the Jets just gave the Preds life.
How would you, you know, experience in front office, obviously here as a GM, how do you sort of unpack the GM without a contract as of the end of June, coach with an extension, but clearly it's not been a very functional relationship between coach and locker room. And then of course this, I guess, mandate to, well, we're spending the cap, so you got to make the playoffs coming from ownership. How do you see those three layers working together this offseason, and does getting in or not getting in change how you would approach it, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think that getting in would be like the ultimate bonus for the Calgary Flames this year, especially as we talk here on this Thursday, April 6th. But, you know, I think that the evaluation has to be deep and it has to be wide. And, you know, you have to look at it really hard. And it doesn't mean that people aren't capable. It doesn't mean that people don't deserve to come back. But you got to figure out how it all works and how it all works together. And I think, you know, with Brad, you know, Brad's been with the Flames for a number of years. You know, what's his responsibility in this? And Daryl, like, is Daryl the right coach to carry on? You know, we look at coaches, and there's been talk. Pat Burns, great coach, Hall of Fame coach. Scotty Bowman lost his job as a coach. Mike Babcock, who's been a good coach in years past. You know, there's lots of good coaches. Just look at the movement that happened last year in the offseason. Bruce Cassidy, good coach. Now he's in Vegas. And it's not like they're not good coaches, but you come to a point in time where you got to evaluate, is this the right coach for this team and these individuals? It's not like you're working for the Calgary. You are working for the Calgary Flames, but the individuals that Daryl was working with last year are different than the individuals he's working with this year. Some are the same, some are different. So that evaluation always has to go on. You're playing personnel. I think that it'll be a deep, deep evaluation for the Calgary Flames, because I think we can all agree, I'm assuming this, is that this team has a lot more talent than the record indicates.
I want to pick up there a little bit, and I did not throw this by you ahead of time, so you can tell me to go pound sand if you don't want to talk about it. But we hear a lot about kind of the unrest, players unhappy with Daryl. Obviously, there's the Huberto stuff. It looked like it started early on in the season. We're led to believe that Kadri and Daryl have had their runs. It just feels like the room, and that's what Daryl does, is he's got a shelf life. So you're left. You've got a coach and you've got players with long-term contracts. I go back to when you were the GM here and you had a situation where you had a player in Mark Savard and you had a coach in Greg Gilbert, and they were butting heads and it was untenable and a move had to be made. So what do? Do you fire the coach and give power to the player? Do you get rid of the player and have loyalty to your coach? Ultimately, Savard left, Gilbert stayed, and then Gilbert was gone shortly thereafter. But can you kind of walk us through, are there any maybe similarities in that scenario that you faced in Calgary to what is happening here now?
Well, I'll be straightforward with you. I was an idiot. I made one of the dumbest moves I could have ever possibly made. I mean, seriously. I mean, I knew that there was a problem. I mean, I loved Mark, and I still love Mark to this day. And, you know, I bet you I talked to Mark for 30 straight days. And, you know, he was frustrated. He wanted to play. He wanted to be a difference maker. And, you know, we were looking at that we had a challenge and we were looking to change the coach. And it did get to a point where, okay, we'll just do it. I was rash. I was dumb, because you don't trade a player like Mark Savard. I talked about Scotty Bowman before. Scotty Bowman said to me, he goes, what happened there? He goes, how do you trade a talented player like that with skill? And, you know, maybe the player you got in return, if you don't remember, was Ruslan Zanilin.
Yeah.
And he wasn't very good. He never played in the NHL. It was just a bad move. It was a bad move on multiple fronts by me. And it's a good example of, don't make a rash decision, because it would be one thing if Mark wasn't talented. It would be one thing if Mark wasn't trying to find a way. We had a coach problem, and I knew it. And yet I still made a stupid move. And there's no other way to put it. It was stupid. So you know what? You can have friction between player and coach. And, you know, that's going to happen in the context of a competitive season. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. How you work through it. But we changed the coach like 10 days later or 12 days later. Mm. You know, we were already looking for a coach. We were looking for an experienced coach. And when Daryl became available, I mean, that really is where we set our sights. But, you know, knowing where we're already at, that's what made the move even dumber. And that's totally on me. Like, you know what? I can sit here and say, oh, I was trying to make sure that Mark went. And, you know, because I did. I really respected Mark, and I really did. And he went on and had a terrific career. But that wasn't a good move. And as a manager, you can't make those moves. And so when I say a comprehensive evaluation, that's where you got it. There's nothing wrong with friction. There's going to be those times between coach and player, players and coach, that you're going to have that friction. How you manage through it and how you work through it and how you come to the right side of it is the key there.
Now, I kind of read in there that if you were to have made the coach, knowing that those two guys were butting heads, then if you make the coaching change, was that part of your thought process that you didn't want to give some sway or some power to the player? Or I guess just what kind of, because I might be reading in on that. I'm just not sure what your mentality was there. And oh, it's cool that you're being very honest about it.
Well, there's no other way. I don't know any other way. I got to be honest. I mean, the bottom line is it was a bad trade, and it was done out of knowing that we had it on. And you know what? I wanted to be fair to Mark, but in being fair to Mark, I didn't do what was best for the organization. And that's where I failed. And the ultimate job of the manager is to do what's best for the organization. That doesn't mean you're not going to have some tough decisions to make. You are. You're going to have some tough decisions to make, but you still got to do what's best for the organization. And while I can sit here and go, yeah, well, I helped Mark, it wasn't best for the organization. And what a terrific player he would have been, you know, with us, you know, under a new coach that came in a very short time thereafter. So, you know what? You can try to position it many different ways. Listen, massive blunder by Craig Button. Massive.
With Daryl, it takes some getting used to playing for Daryl. He came in at the end of the year, a couple of years ago, and we thought he would have a more positive impact, I think, in that
right away.
Yeah. And it didn't turn out that way, to the point where we were a little bit skeptical last year going in, wondering, is this relationship going to work, or are we going to have to blow things up and make a bunch of changes?
They're basically 500 when he came in, and there were some underlying numbers that were good, but they were just 500. It wasn't like, geez, right. He unlocked these guys.
Yeah, and then they go on, and they dominate last year. They have a great season, regular season, maybe faltered a little bit in the playoffs, albeit against a good Edmonton Oilers team. But the question I'm trying to get to is, you brought in a bunch of new guys again this year. Is it possible? I think they've underachieved hugely, and there's been friction, and you said that's fine, and I agree with you. There's always – nobody's all – your whole team is never happy with the coach. But is there, do you believe – an opportunity or a chance that if they left things the same, that the guys like Huberdeau and Kadri and all the new guys, they come back, they know what's going to be asked of them next year in training camp. They understand how Daryl pushes buttons. Can they have a better response to it next year with Daryl still at the helm?
I would answer yes, Rhett, and for this reason, because you just touched when he came in halfway through that season. You know, it took them some getting used to. And your term about getting used to Daryl will push. And you know he pushes buttons, and you know that very well. You've been there. You've been part of that. I think one of the things, you know, Tkachuk leaves, Gaudreau leaves. I think one of the players that they really, really miss is Eric Branson. And not so much Eric, like Eric was a good player there. But Eric was also a strong voice. And you know, Rhett, in a dressing room, you know, sometimes the coach comes in and he's absolutely right what he's saying, and players just go, listen to him, he's right. And there's other times when a player has to tell the coach, hey, back off, we got this in here, whatever it is. And so you're trying to, you got new players trying to acclimate to a new situation. You got other players that might not be as comfortable with their voices. You've lost voices. And I think that impacts the team as well. And that leads to some of the friction, some of the uncertainty. And that's where I think you got to sit down and, you know, really talk about, okay, what do we like? What don't we like? What could we do better? What types of moves could we make? And I'm not talking about firing coaches or, but like, do we need a different type of player? What type of voices could we have that could support these players? I think that that's what's, because there's no way Daryl hasn't become a bad coach.
Yeah.
It's just that the situation now, and maybe how he's handling it. Daryl's a bright guy. And to look at it and say, hey, here's what I got to do. Here's what I got to do a little bit differently. I mean, I remember when he went into LA, he hadn't coached in a while, and he got that team right on track. Last year, we talked about what he did with the Flames. So, you know, but it's got to be understanding, okay, where did we fall short? What's my responsibility, and what can we do to make sure we don't get into this spot? Because I think they have the talent. I really do. I think they have the talent.
Is it at all concerning to you? We talked about this the other day on the show that, or was it even last night? But it doesn't matter. That no one has stepped up as far as being a captain. And not that I feel that a captain has to be just handed out, because if you don't have a captain, I don't think you just give someone the C. I think the person has to be the captain, and you have to show the reason as to why you should get that captaincy. But is the team lacking that person? And are you surprised that no one has stepped up to kind of fill that role? Because there are guys that kind of skirt the edges of maybe they could be a captain. A Michael Backlund or a Lindholm or a Tanev. But it doesn't ever feel like that's exactly the guy, right? At the start of the year, Kadri was playing really good. And we're like, oh, maybe this Kadri guy's going to. But none of them really have stepped up and made a point, made it enough of a statement where it's like, that's the guy. Like when Gio got named captain, we were all, yeah, it's Giordano. He's stepped up his game. He's playing the right way. He's showing leadership. It just seems like it's missing there. And are you surprised by it? Because there are guys in that room you think could do it.
Yes and yes. I think they are. I think they are missing it. And you're right. And Rhett, you know too, just because you're the captain, like, you don't have to wear a C to be a leader. You know, you were a leader. You had a voice, right? And so you look in and you think, yeah, Lindholm's a good player. Kadri's got an emotional barometer when he's on his game, and Backlund, right? But you also have to be comfortable with your voice, right? And you have to be comfortable with that personality. So do I think they lack it? I do. It is surprising. It always seemed to me that they were going to go Jerome, Giordano, Tkachuk. It just seemed like the order was in place. And I think that with Matthew leaving, that it's left the void there. I really think it's left the void with Matthew. I mentioned Eric and Branson with that voice that maybe people wouldn't realize it could have a big impact on something in the room with players. Obviously, Matthew, I think, would be that guy. But I think it is a void. And it does surprise me because, we know that the coaches are in the room or with the players 10 to 15% of the time. How the players operate within their group, everybody knows who the leader is. You just said it. You knew Gio was the guy, right? The players all know. Everybody knows it. And so now you're, okay, who's going to say something? Or should I say something? Or what should I say? You know, that's just kind of not a confidence in your own leadership, and which might lead you to believe that they're not capable of taking on that role.
One last one for me on the Flames, and then we'll pivot a little bit. If, and just for the sake of this, let's just say they don't make it. So in a week's time, the regular season is over. It's exit meetings. Brad Treliving does not have a contract heading into next season. Is that an awkward spot for him to be part of exit meetings? Do you, I guess just your read on Treliving moving forward with the team and the end of the season and everything that goes into wrapping a season up with a lame duck GM, if you will.
His job doesn't change. I mean, until somebody tells him it's not his job anymore, his job is to make sure that he's doing everything in the best interest of the Calgary Flames. Exit meetings, sitting down with the players, getting the information, hearing what they have to say from the players, the coach, that's his job. As long as he's got the job, he better do the job. I'm real simple on that. I don't care if you're in the last year of your contract or you're not. That's your job. So as long as you've got the job, you better do your job. That's That's how I, if Brad feels that it's awkward, that's his own thing to deal with. But to me, I'm really clear on that. Like, you know, don't be shirking your job because, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be back here next year. Hey, listen, make sure you get all the information, make sure that you're doing things the right way and, you know, deliver it so that the organization can understand it, whether you're here or you're not, what they got to do to be better. And you're only going to do that by going through the process.
Switching, how much would you be salivating if you were running the Ducks, the Blue Jackets, the Hawks at the possibility of bringing Connor Bedard into your organization? You know, you've done a ton of great scouting work over the last few decades on the media side and in the NHL. What have you seen and how exemplary is this body of work from Connor Bedard?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this in a long time. I mean, McDavid came along in 2015 and Crosby came along in 2005. And, you know, when you think about this century and really what separates him from those guys, and I'm not saying he's going to be better than McDavid or Crosby because those guys are all-time greats. But what Bedard did at the World Junior Tournament as a 17-year-old, like clearly the best player. Nobody was even close to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what he's done in junior, just like McDavid and Crosby, I think it puts him in a position where he has done something this century that nobody else has done. Nobody else has done. And, you know, he's a pretty special player, and he continues to show that. And I think if you're the Anaheim Ducks with a lot of good young players, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets with a lot of good young players and Goudreau and Laine, can you imagine Goudreau and Laine getting Bedard to play center between them? They will think that they won the lottery, not just the Columbus Blue Jackets. So, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks are a little bit further away. You know, they don't have the same depth of player ready to come in and play. They have some good young players, but not ready to come in and play to that level. But, I mean, we're talking about somebody who I feel is going to come right in and make a real, real significant contribution to whatever team he comes to. I think it'll be greater if it's in Anaheim or Columbus than if it is in Chicago. But you're salivating. You're salivating in a big way.
And then the rest of the draft class, we hear for years out, oh, this crop, the this year birth years, oh, it's a real special year. And, oh, this is a softer year. And sometimes those things even out over time and it's a normal draft year. But this has been a very heavily hyped draft class. What are the characteristics of it?
What I would say is that, you know, through 20, you know, there's going to be 40, 45 players that play 350 games or more of varying levels. That's true of every draft. That's just what the numbers tell you. But what I see through the first 20 or so picks is a lot of first two line forwards, you know, a group of, you know, first and second pair defensemen. I'm not so sure there's a top elite defenseman in there, but certainly somebody that can play, some players that can, you know, be in your top pair and certainly second pair defensemen. So the quality of player, you know, through 20 or so picks in that regard is pretty significant. You know, you're going to get third line players and you're going to get players that, you know, fill out your blue line. But, you know, when you get top pair and second pair defensemen and top two line forwards, I think that that's what makes this draft class, you know, a little bit, when people talk about quality in a draft, a little bit higher.
It'd be like when you have a young Rhett Warner on the board.
Ooh.
You know, back in the day, you just, yep, as a GM, they're just holding you down. It's like you just want to sprint up.
We
to
can
that
trade
podium.
Up right now. We can trade up. Yeah. Hang on. So he might. Hard. Do you think he'll last to us? I don't just know.
Plummeting.
Just like a stone.
I have scouting reports on Rhett Warner. When I come up to the studio, I'll read them.
Oh, please. So, that would be awesome. You
know, watching Rhett with the Saskatoon Blades. Oh yeah. No, I got Scott. I've kept all that stuff. It's actually a lot of fun, you know, when you go back, because I was looking, I don't know what year, it wasn't his draft year, but I forget who I was looking back at it and I go, gee, some of this stuff was not bad. I mean, better than I thought, you know, when you look back at some of your notes, right? And, you know, it's not easy to project. And, you know, we talk about players that, you know, they've been the best players at their level, wherever they're at, whether it be in junior hockey, whether it be in college or Europe. But that next step to the NHL is a hard one. And you got to be ready for the challenges, and you got to be ready to adapt, and you got to be ready to dig in and compete. And, you know, that's what makes it so hard to do. You can look at talented players, and we've all seen players that you go, geez, how did he not make it? Usually it comes back to, you know, maybe they weren't as competitive and as dialed in terms of working on their game as their skill may have indicated they would have been capable of doing.
How are those long arms going to play in the NHL? I mean, that's got to be a lot of the scouting conversations that year.
What about the skill level of the kids nowadays? It's I got young boys, so I'm at the rink all the time, and they're getting to the age where you start to see some really special players out there. I'm amazed by it. I'm guessing you're the same way.
Absolutely, Rhett. I mean, Rhett, you have the benefit of playing before 05 and after 05, you know, when the rule mm-hmm. changes. And the rule changes have even impacted even greater because, like your boys, the kids today, they only know one set of rules, one set of standards in 05. You know, you had to adapt. You know, there was one way that was played, then you had to adapt, and there's been adaptations between that. So, one of the things I'm really noticing too is that the bigger players are now being developed. Like, you know, it used to be, hey, just go dump the puck in, grind it out, battle it around the boards, you know, do your thing. The bigger players, I'm seeing a lot of bigger players move and handle the puck. And, you know, the smaller player have to survive. There's always going to be room for the smaller player. But I think that the bigger player now is really getting a chance to develop their skills too. And, you know, as a bigger player, a lot of times the player was asked to go and, you know, be physical and run over the opposition. And mm-hmm. that just went part. And so some players were comfortable doing that. Some weren't. And, you know, I think now with the skill level and how high it is and the speed of the game blows me away. I mean, you know, when you were adjusting to that, Darren Hatcher told me when he retired in Philadelphia, he said, I was going to get a penalty every shift. He goes, I had to get out. He goes, it was over.
He was good pre-05.
I just couldn't adapt. He said it was done.
I'll be honest with you, man. It was always one of those things when we were sitting over at Sportsnet. It's like, man, we'd love to get Craig on. We'd love to get Craig on. He's in
here in town.
It was just such a perfect fit, and it was always kind of a spot that we missed having. It's awesome having you available to us and having you on board. The Cool Button Podcast, it's wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, all that sort of thing. And I guess welcome to the network, and we're happy to have you. And I have a feeling we might be ringing your phone here. Rob Kerr, can I give Rob your number? Because I know he's going to love to have you on his show. He's doing one with us as well. But I feel like this is going to be a...
Well, Rob always invites me for lunch, and then I have to pay. So, like, of course he has my number.
Yeah,
so,
sure. I'm into lunch, too.
No, that's
yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, we were saying, now that we know where you live.
I mean,
yeah. You live close by. The coffee's always nice, on, I assume. Yeah.
Steve and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're a part of the nation. I think that the nation is good. And, I mean, we're seeing a lot of opportunity to, you know, expand it. And so I'm happy to be part of it. And, you know, like you guys, I've always admired you guys over there. You know, I said this to Brian Burke a number of years ago. We were at some conference, and he talked about, that's when Brian was with Sportsnet. And he goes, I said, competition makes us all better. It makes us all better. And just because somebody is with one network and so on, doesn't mean we don't respect what people are saying. It doesn't mean we don't learn. And that was certainly the case with you guys over at Sportsnet. And I listened to you in the morning, and, you know, it was always good. Really good analysis, and we talked about it fair and balanced, right? And it's passionate. I mean, you know, the sport is competition, but it's passion, and the fans have passion. And
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You feed into it. So happy to be part of it. And you know what? It's only about a 10-minute walk up to your studio from my house. So
perfect.
Bring those scouting notes. Yeah, I want to bring see those notes. Let's go.
That's tremendous.
Oh, yeah. Content. I'll bring the scouting notes. It's all written out nice and neat. It'll all be there.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig. Good catching up with you. Be well. Have a great long weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks for having me.
I betcha. Craig Button, former, obviously, he's been in the game his whole life, right? Jeez. Former GM, doing a lot of the prospect work, has been for years with TSN, and is he's not a lot of GMs are going to come on and do what he did there.
No. You
know, I kind of sheepishly got to ask him, want to ask him about the Savard thing, because we talked about it the other day. Is there, if you move the coach and you keep the players, is now the players feel they can,
are you
running
enabling
the show?
Them? Are you empowering them?
Yeah. And that had to have been part of it there. It's just interesting to hear how honest he was, because yeah, Savard, you look back at that team, it's not like they were flowing over with skill.
No.
They
it was
needed
the exact type
guy.
Of player they didn't have, really. Yeah. Like a skilled centerman.
I still remember being at one of those games. I was in the locker room, and they lost. It was a midweek game. Savard not playing, healthy scratched. Gilbert wasn't playing him. And he walked into the room, and it's all kind of, it's kind of changed a little bit. People won't know. But your media's at different lockers, and it's all very quiet, and guys are talking, you know, right about here. That's it. And he's wearing some sort of and at the time, like it was a sharp brown suit he looked like $1 million. And he comes walking through the room, whistling away like he didn't have a care in the world, like loss didn't matter or nothing. It was like, that's a cocky kid, because he was still really young then. And I think it was maybe about a week later.
So yeah,
they traded him for Ruslan.
I got the date right now.
Zanulin.
Yeah.
Who never played.
November 15, 2002, and Zanulin was a huge bear of a physical Russian player that never crossed the pond. And, you know, I think a lot of GMs would be that transparent, but I also think it does take the 21 years it's been for Craig, and I think Craig probably would have told you 10 years ago. But what we really need is to book Brad Treliving for like 2042, so we can really get the scoop on what the hell happened last summer and all the other deals. I think with time, a lot of the details do leak out. It's just no one would ever tell you right now a lot of the rumors and gossip, and here was the battle between player and coach. But as time passes, that's the best stuff, isn't it?
So what was the date of the trade?
November 15, 2002. And Craig said that
they fired
Gilbert.
Greg Gilbert
12 days later. Something like that?
December 3rd.
Yeah, so like 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks.
You wonder how different things...
Then Chopper came in, right?
Yeah, that's right. Al McNeil took over for a game or two there. Mm-hmm.
We saw Al at an event that in the fall that we spoke at, and I mean, phenomenal.
I tell people about Al, and lots of listeners won't even... Look him up. He has won everything.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
Oh,
and you would never guess to stride by him or look at it. It's like, this guy's seen it and done it all.
Yes.
Stories.
Biggest names
days.
Ever.
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens running that place.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We got the Pinder Report coming up. A couple things. Green Drop. And I was thinking about it this morning. I think we've taken, and good to have Brian and Green Drop on board. And we tell you guys about what a difference it makes for your yard and that sort of thing. I was thinking this way. I probably would never have gotten Green Drop if we didn't meet Brian or if it was one of those things. It just felt like it's kind of, that's just something that I do by myself or whatever.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
Except then
I'll go buy the bag of fertilizer, which is probably wrong. And I'll go get I'll rent the aerator from Home Depot and
seems heavy.
Tear the shit out of my yard and it can't live. And then we got hooked up with Green Drop, and it was truly one of those things like, this is outstanding.
Oh,
this is living. And then you look, it's nowhere near as as expensive as you thought it was going to be. That's
surprising.
And then it was like, why have it? This is not some elitist sort of a thing. This is the way to do it. Yeah. I don't know why I never...
You've got a groundskeeper.
Yes. Why would I have not done this sooner? You click that QR code that's on your screen if you're watching on YouTube, and you're going to get the Barn Burner discount. Ooh. If you're like me, you've still got snow in your yard.
I snowblow.
I know you do. Well, if you're unlike Rhett and still like a lot of us, there's still ice and stuff and poop in your backyard that you got to take care of, but it's coming soon. Get Green Drop in your life. It's like having your own greenskeeper, and it's affordable and it's worth it. And your yard, we joke about it. Just put some water on it when it needs it and cut it when it needs to be cut. And they're going to take care of the rest. They've got the beautiful basics package all the way up to the premium package. It's going to have your aeration and overseeding and soil boosters and all that sort of thing. And we joke about science, but it's not joking. They're dealing with fertilizers and chemicals and all that sort of thing. They assess your yard. They know where's the sunny spots, where's the shady spots. They take care of all that for you. Greendrop.com on social media at Greendrop LTD. Do it today. Book yourself in. You won't. You'll be so happy. It's a good that you come back. It's got the little sign. Oh, Green Drop.
They're here. Yes.
Nice.
Then it's not like growing grass in Augusta National. You notice that? Like the winter we go through. Like these lawns have to do with a lot of shit. Well, and these guys are going to get you the best chance to have the best lawn on the lot right away on the block there.
There you go. Greendrop.com. Get in there and do that today. Time for the Pinder Report, a presentation of Village Honda. Now you. You were kind of going light on the Pinder Report because...
Well, then we heard Alex is good, so we're...
Village Honda paying top dollar for your vehicle. They got $1 million to do it. Sell them your vehicle. You'll get a tropical cruise for two. Find out more at villagehonda.com. Village Honda presents the Pinder Report.
Fellas, I would love to tell you about last night's Jets and Calgary Flames game from Winnipeg, but you told us about it. Let's go to Afterburner in the wake of a huge, could have been bigger, 3-1 win in Manitoba last night with Retro and Boom Boom on the Purple Show.
Complete opposite shows up. You have no idea what you're going to get. And so I feel for the Jets fans. I feel for the Flames fans. One team and one set of fans are going to get some playoff hockey. Damned if I could tell who it's going to be.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, there have been some people from Manitoba that reach out. So what do you think? What do you think tonight? And I think... the Flames fans were all saying Jets will win, and the Jets fans were all saying, oh, the Flames are going to win. I agree with you. I think both fan bases have so little confidence in their team's ability to win a big game or to come through at this time. It's just, I don't know. Were the Flames significantly better than they have been the last two, three, or four games? I don't think so.
All right, there it is. There it is. Boom, yeah, see ya. Yeah. Boom, gone.
Yeah. I don't think the fat guy knows what he's talking about, to be honest.
I thought they were much better last night. I mean, I didn't love their first, and it's like, geez, you get those power plays early, and then you take dumb offensive zone penalties, three of them early, and you knew the Jets were going to capitalize on one of those. Like, fuck, like your goalie looks like he's on tonight. I didn't expect that, and you're still going to flush this thing. But it was a great final 40 in the fourth line, drawing penalties, getting goals. Like, I know it's not Rhett's favorite line all year, none ours, and there's a lot of issues with who could be there and who is there. But Walker Dewar again. Walker Dewar with a big fucking goal. That's a big win.
Don't paint it that I don't like the fourth line. I just think that sometimes they're miscast.
Situations where maybe
it's
not their best spot.
And it was a lot of them down the stretch, but last night it was like, I get it. They've been really good.
Well, that's part of the problem too. And, you know, even talking with Craig 5 minutes ago, it's like, how come the big guys aren't stepping up? You know, the guys that you'd think that want that to wear a C or make a statement. Those aren't the guys that are doing it.
Well, and I'll say this. Backlund, I thought, had a much better night than he did against Chicago. Kadri, you could see emotionally.
But you don't get to pick and choose.
Of course not. I mean, a lot of them were awful against Chicago. Kadri still had a couple of rough turnovers, but emotionally and physically more invested. You'd agree with that?
He has to climb out of a big hole in my world.
Yeah, I'm not handing out MVP, but that's moving the right way, although it's only one way from rock bottom, right?
Well, and what I said to him last night, I said, I would feel like he should be the first star after the shitty performance. Like, if he had personal pride, he'd be like, I'm going to make a statement this game. I'm going to make up for for what I did last night.
I don't know if we need to be reminded or maybe that we hadn't forgot, but yeah, Jonathan Huberdeau can still find that late man. I don't know that he's ever going to shoot it, but he found Zadorov in a spot to set up the game winner there, or at least the insurance goal after Dewar's game winner. And a lot of people were asking, the hell are they booing Rasmus Anderson for? Like, did his dad run over an old-time jet or something? Like, what's the story here? Here was the play. Why? Because I got asked like 1,000 times. Why is Anderson getting booed? Well, they're going after a loose puck here, and watch the contact. This angle shows it the best. Vulnerable, bang. So he stays down for about a minute or so, and then was out in the second half of that power play. And so that Jets are like, well, if you're so hurt, why out on the power play? I think it's the right call when you see the right angle.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Ouch.
And you know what? I don't think he was trying to hit him. He ended up catching him kind of from behind there. I think he was trying to catch his side and bump him.
He was thinking that Anderson was cutting into him and they were coming together. Yeah. And Anderson really didn't.
I didn't think
it was a penalty. And then when I watched replay, oh, I see. Anderson wasn't coming back into him.
Yeah.
It was. He got him from behind.
And that reverse angle shows the best, I thought, which is right here. Because you see how far away the puck is. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's no. That's not two guys battling. That's one guy catching another guy in a bad spot, albeit without intent.
He's a bit of a prick.
He's big and thick, isn't he? I thought it was a concerted effort by the Flames to really make it a miserable night for Dubois. Like, I don't know that it necessarily like won them the game, but you could see the game plan was, we need to get in this guy's face, push him every scrum we get. It wasn't the, like, let Jerome sleep. It was the opposite.
Wonder how they feel about him in Winnipeg, because he's already said he wants out, basically.
I know how they feel about him in Montreal.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, the NHL won't let you buy a Dubois Habs jersey. People have been trying.
It's Lucien Dubois. I love that guy. I just wonder it's got to be some conflict. You need him to play well because you want to get into the playoffs and you cheer his goals. And it's like, but you don't want to be here. You don't want to be part of us, you prick.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, they did well in that Trouba deal when it felt like their hands were tied. They get Pionk and some other parts and a pick. They'll do well with Dubois because of the season he had. It's been a good year for him if they have to trade him. Yeah. When?
Imagine Dubois, Huberto.
Oh, it'll be so good.
What a lineup.
Pelche?
Yes.
Parlez-vous, Frances.
Oui. Flames schedule.
Jador, Calgary Stampede.
3 games left, fellas. Let's take a peek. They are tied with the Jets, but actually not tied because the Jets on the tiebreak. And the Jets have a game in hand. Here's what's left. Vancouver on a Saturday. Sounds familiar. Feel free to not need dramatic comebacks from 2-goal deficits.
Don't go
to overtime. Just, tuck one away. As Rhett said, let's get an easy one. Maybe pull Markstrom after one because you're up 6-0.
That's right.
That's going to happen.
Like Chicago game,
This Nashville game on Monday continues to look bigger and bigger for both sides involved because of what Rhett said. The Jets have been screwing this thing up for 2 months. And then finally, the softest game on their schedule, the last game of their 2022-23 regular season campaign, the Sharks, which feels fucking horrifying.
Didn't someone a couple years ago, Minnesota, have a chance to win and get in?
Last game stuff,
And then they against a team they should beat, and absolutely.
I remember that. I don't remember who it was against. Yeah. Why I remember is because I was at the zoo. we had family in from out of town, and I was on my phone keeping an eye on it. It's like, are they going to lose this game? And they did.
It was the Wild, you're saying?
Yeah. They were playing a soft opponent on the final day, and it was win and you're in.
Oh, boy.
And they shit themselves.
Can't remember who it was.
All right, we'll move along. Standings look like this. We told you, just a reminder. It's still really tight. Nashville's got the games, but fuck, they're not easy. Nashville, Carolina tonight. Winnipeg on Saturday. No overtime, please. No 3-point games, you bastards.
But what do you want there? You hope for Carolina wins tonight.
Yep.
Then you absolutely need Nashville
to win on Saturday. You beat Nashville on Monday.
Yeah.
The Jets and Nashville both have to lose to Minnesota. And
really
Colorado,
kind of having to thread a needle here, hey?
Yeah.
You can don't win tonight, but then for sure win on Saturday.
Yeah. And the good news is, look at Minnesota and Colorado. Tied in points, 1 game in hand for Colorado. It looks like the last 2 games of the year for both the Avs and the Wild will have a lot to say about seeding 1-3 in the Central. And that likely means you're going to get the best out of Colorado and Minnesota, not a rest your stars game against the Preds and the Jets. 4 games for Jets and Preds combined against both the Avs and the Wild.
You're keeping your fingers crossed that those games are going to matter.
Yeah.
And look, they're all tied. There's 3 teams tied at 90 points. Like, I feel like it'd be hard for not.
Well, they got a game in hand. So if Colorado wins that, they're already up. Then they're up by 2, and they've got the tiebreaker. So
they have the tiebreaker. Wonder.
Yeah, I saw this morning, with 8 days to go in the regular season, and obviously the Flames are part of this, there are 4 playoff spots to be determined, 3 division champions, and 7 first-round matchups.
Still heading into the final week. Yeah. Gary's parody.
Gary's so happy.
Last year, remember the East was sewn up by Christmas? It's very different. Yeah. And I will say, I think it's a very likely outcome that the Flames could finish their schedule on Wednesday and have to watch Thursday or Friday to see whether they're in or not.
I'd be almost shocked if... Wow.
Because there's 2 games left for Nashville at that point and 1 for the Jets.
What they do.
Yeah,
they
of course.
To San Jose, I'm not watching Thursday and Friday.
That's fair.
And then it's you shift the gears and then it's like, okay, do you want the Oilers or Vegas in round 1?
Or is it going to be, and you know, the wind's into us, so I'd take a little more club, and it's early in the morning, so that's going to be a firmer
green. Oh, Ryan.
It'll be one of those 2.
I'm so tired of your negativity.
Yeah, exactly. We're in the wrong chairs today. Mm. This was a nice little find from hot young prospect in his rookie year, Jack, as part of the Barnburner team. This right, is his yeah. first week on yeah. the job.
Blue chipper.
Look what he dug out of Sweden, apparently. This is, I had is not seen this.
Here? Meatballs?
Is this Vladimir Guerrero? What do we got here? Some sort of dirty movie?
Very blurry.
What do we got here?
Very blurry.
A little blur. Yeah.
This is great. Blurry. Oh.
What?
Oh. Look at this. Oliver Shelton's pumping the cowbell thingies.
Oh, in some tight pants.
Toit.
What's he pumping?
The cowbell? What do they call that?
Yeah, that's
kettle.
Right.
Kettlebell. There you are. The cows look like they have those things around their neck in Switzerland, but those are bells. Yeah. It's a kettle. Okay. I think if you're putting this out online and you're Oliver Shillington, I think that's a good sign. I don't want to get too heavy into the tea leaves, but you'd rather see him working out than not, right?
Well, good for him.
Attaboy. Okay.
Mix in some cardio. Let's go.
Yeah, it looks like he's getting heavy.
It's a lot of muscle there, right? What are you talking about? Okay. We'll move along. That's probably enough of that. Tonight's games. Let's take a peek.
I'm going to tape my workout later today.
I know. Just go a size bigger. I don't know that we need all that. And you could leave a top on if you want.
Tight pants if I was a size bigger.
Tweet. Yeah. Tweet. Here's tonight's slate in the NHL. What is it? 13 games? How many teams in action?
14 games.
How many teams in action?
26.
There we go. And I've highlighted one for you, fellas. That's the Carolina Nashville game from Music City that looms large. All right, that's a fun one. There's some other fun ones in there. Alex's Senators play the Panthers, who have leapfrogged 2 teams the last night they were in action. They're sitting in a wild card. And if you're Pittsburgh, you've really frittered this thing away.
Delicious.
You got Minnesota. That's not going to be easy at home for a club that... It's the Jason Zucker Bowl. I know you were really worried about how his emotions were going to be today. Also, could be a round 2 preview, or maybe it's a never going to happen. Those guys won't get out of round 1. Leafs and Bruins tonight. That's a nice looking slate. Jonathan Quick potentially against his old team, Kings and Knights.
Kraken are close to clinching a playoff spot.
Yeah, but they got the plucky Yotes. And speaking of which, let's go to the Coyotes news. The Coyotes are suing the city of Phoenix and Sky Harbor Airport for $2.3 billion.
That's a good round number. I like it. I think it's warranted.
I think it's always a good sign when you're trying to get something done. You really need a lot of parts. Hey, we're going to need a little bit of public funding. And could you approve this land here? We're going to be in partnership with this and we're going to do that. When you're suing someone for $2.3 billion, I think that really, we're getting on the right track here.
When they're supposed to be your partner.
Yeah, you're going to need them to rezone some land and, you know, hey, it's the planes come in, but we'll make it so the apartments, they're not that noisy.
Well, maybe they're showing that we're not going to be bullied by you guys.
Yeah. It reminded me of my favorite meme these days, which is the Gary Bettman. Again, for people you could use this every week for the last decade. I just found it now. I love it. As much as Gary loves the idea of a successful hockey team in Phoenix.
Yeah, well, when he retires, he's going to Scottsdale, and he needs a team because he loves the game.
And I heard some people bickering, and they're like, Tempe's too far from Scott JP. 14 minutes from Old Town to the site of the new rink. That's where you want an arena.
Too far.
14?
Like, what are people talking? Go to the game in Florida or Canada and tell me too far.
Glendale is too far.
Glendale's too far.
Absolutely too far. Tempe 14 minutes from Old Town. That's perfect.
I don't hear people bitching about where the ballpark is, that it's too far from Scottsdale.
No!
This would be a little closer.
And they do those 81 times a year. It's not like, oh, it's once a week. It'll work in Glendale. Well, NFL will work once a week there. Hockey on a Tuesday, screw that.
I'm dying for some baseball. We got to go to a game.
Let's get a trip planned. Let's
go. I got one planned.
WHL news. Let us jump to that. The Calgary Hitmen. Low scoring, tight affair. 1-0 midway through the game. They got pumped 6-1. So close to heading back to Red Deer.
Fell apart.
So close. And now they got to win on the road to force a Sunday game six.
Saskatoon Blades, though, hey, going into the Regina and laying the smackdown.
Do you remember the year you tried to purchase the Saskatoon Blades?
Mm-hmm.
What was the year?
Well, I don't know. I remember.
Yeah, sorry. What year was it? Of course, you remember the process. I'm 15, trying to think how many 14? Years ago. Okay, so let's say it's 8 years ago, just for argument's sake. For 7.99 of the years, he has been like, this is the best thing that's never happened to me. And in the last 3 weeks, like, damn it, I wish I owned that club. They had four sellouts in a row because Bedard was in there. Well, now they're rallying back. He's like, let's go, Blades.
And it's all Bedard-based. I think they'd get good fans for a first-round playoff matchup, but
not sellouts.
Not 17,000 with Bedard.
Fellas, yeah. I look forward to watching you winning in Game 7. Not six.
Yep.
Game seven.
Yep. You know, why don't we rest that goalie for game seven? What do you mean? If we win you do that.
It's for our fans, right? Yeah, it's always better to win in home ice.
Yeah. We'll treat them to another home game, right? That's what you want. Okay. Elsewhere, we shall move along to the AHL Calgary team. That would be the Wranglers. Last night, clash of first place teams. The Coachella Valley Firebirds, Seattle's farm team, the Palm Springs somethings is what they should be called, hosting the Calgary Wranglers. Let's have a look what happened. Winner would be in top spot, not just in the division, the entire AHL. Look at that. 3-1. One probably means Wolf was in net, and three probably means Matt Phillips scored. If you're thinking those things, you're right on both accounts. They're first in the American League, and happy birthday, Bubba, today.
Is that right?
I saw it in the Wranglers.
Matty Phillips.
Bubba birthday.
Love it.
That's celebrated with a goal last night. Top spot. I believe they have five to go, all on the road. And yeah, if the AHL's Western Conference had to go through Calgary for home ice, kind of fun. I don't want to say it'd be a consolation because clearly the Flames are going
to
get it.
It's going to be hard to get a
scheduling conflicts all over.
That's what I was worried. Hitmen are going to rally and get back that series.
Three teams going.
Feel for those ushers. Those big concerts
they're going to have to cancel.
Get some new good shoes.
Marcel Kelly. That's my favorite guy. He's a good one. Legend in town, that one. Okay, other sports. Last night, Calvary FC had a get-together. They've unveiled all the uns. A new kit. There's our boy, Mason Trafford.
Boy, Mace.
He's working on the business side. He retired after last season, and that's the away kit. Look at the lightning bolt. I love it. Yes. That's Fraser Aird, who was watching the Oilers game. He's like, why haven't we scored against Anaheim yet? Big Oilers song. Fraser's a beauty. And Mason, good work. Great event. Huge turnout. The home kits are that red-black gradient, the away with the lightning bolts. Looking snazzy, fellas. Big year coming up for the Cavs. Very good. Do you like the jerseys? Do you have any comments?
I like the red-black ones.
You do like the red-blacks. Yeah. I like them both, but that lightning bolt, I'm like, wow, I don't know that I've seen a lightning bolt on a jersey that wasn't, you know, you hate the lightning bolt on the pants for the
Saskatoon Storm.
Okay. I'll take it back. Mm-hmm. And finally, Skydome / Rogers Center renovations are done. You can show me photos. You can measure the distance from home plate to a wall. But the goods we really need were delivered by Scotty Mitchell, who used to be a reporter for the Stamps here in Calgary,
right, yeah.
Of TSN. Scotty, what do we need to know about Rogers Center? My Dome Outfield Bar power rankings. Number one, the Corona rooftop patio on the 500 level right field.
Looking forward to that.
Number two, the Catch 100 level right field. Number three, Flight Deck 200 level center field. Number three, Park Social 500 level left field. And the Stop 100 level center field behind the batter's eye. You're welcome. Please send shots to 300 level press box. It's our boy Scotty Mitchell. That's what we need. You want to go see baseball? We even have the order of the bars we're going to visit, Rhett.
That's intrepid reporting. That's what that is.
You know what? It's not easy sometimes when you got to get that scoop and everyone else is hustling. You just got to grind. You got to want it more. And he's clearly put in the work.
Stayed focused. That's the key. He's focused and disciplined.
So he has the Corona one at the number one spot. Now that's 500 new level.
Yeah. So you're way up, but it's apparently it's like I mean, it's going to be Corona vibes. I think some tropical, maybe beach chairs. You throw
okay
them over.
I'm okay with that.
Are they cheaper in the 500s than the 200s or the 100s?
This is a question I have. A lot of these will be open to everyone, so you can stroll through no matter where you buy seats. Mm-hmm. And I know the flight deck for non-playoff games, which is now 3 on the list, was clearly a hard number 1 before these renovations. These are better than those. That's impressive. And you could wander into the flight deck with seats from anywhere.
Let's get Scotty on the show.
Can we do that?
Get some Scotty Mitchell love in our life.
I would love that.
You want to talk Blue Jays?
Well, what do you mean? What Argos?
Rhett's going to a game. He's just needs
I'm
to know about
Yankee
that
stadium.
So you do want to talk? You want to talk Yankees Blue Jays? Well, I mean, which bar? Yeah. Okay, so there's that. Finally, Rhett didn't tell us this, but he was surprisingly cheery today. Maybe it was the Masters. Maybe it was the ray of sun that caught him as he was sitting in the chair at the side of the studio. But he overcomes the odds. He's a guy that, you know, sometimes you get dealt a bad hand. You got to find a way to work through it.
My whole life.
This was Rhett this morning, and I'm surprised he wasn't in a foul mood because his cat just absolutely dropped a deuce in his slipper.
Oh,
that is,
man,
just the
hate
worst.
Cat. I hate that damn cat.
Now, you either saw it before you put your foot in, or you're one of the nicest guys on earth, because if I step in cat shit in my shoe in the morning, it ruins my day.
See, I knew the shoveler was angling for a feline. I didn't know that you guys got one already.
Slippers. Look at that.
Yeah.
Ruined.
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 Smells all. I just imagine bare feet, Rhett. That's got to feel gross. Like, yeah. Really. Dean, would that feel gross?
It's like the saying as old as time about cats. Even the best cat in the world still shits in your house.
Oh, that's your Pinder report.
Cats. You love cats, eh? Northwest Auto Mall. Online at villagehonda.com. It's the good folks. It's your dealership for life. Detailing packages starting at only $79.95 for your vehicle. Get the winter and spring cleaned off your car at your dealership for life, Village Honda.
We're distracted.
Yeah.
John Rahm.
Nice shot.
Rombo.
John Rahm had a tough start to the day.
That was him, yes, huh?
Looked like a lot of putting on that first.
Look at this shot. This will be all right.
There you go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. These guys are good, eh? Mm-hmm. Oof. Oh, no, not this again.
Oh, I had it. Right there.
That one there? Do you want me to describe what's happening?
Shoulder out.
Bill Huberto.
Billy. Billy boy.
Blasty jersey. Huberto Blasty jersey signed courtesy of the Hearing Loss Clinic. I said we're going to do it today.
Hooray.
So keep an eye on your soch. Keep an eye on your soch. Go to the Flames Nation Twitter and Instagram accounts, or ours. But I would go there. We'll have those. Or the Hearing Loss Clinic. Go to their social media. Go through the process. You have to do a little bit of work there. We're going to make you work for a little bit. Go through the process. Let's say I said EOD today, so you still got time.
EOD.
Get in there and enter to win. It's got the tie down and everything on there. Because he is
a
threat to throw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Autographed. He spotted Jim Zadorov there. What a soft mitts.
Autographed QB jersey, courtesy of the Hearing Loss Clinic, hearingloss.ca. And again,
right, you got company.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. See, it's not as easy as you Rhodesy. Rhodesy and the Hearing Loss Clinic. We talked about the playoff draft. We were over at the Grey Eagle Casino looking at the room the other day.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Sheldon. He's like, well, we're going to give some tickets away because he was talking to Wolfie. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, we're going to have some tickets. I said, yeah, I saw Whitney Cummings. She's coming up at the near the end of the month. He's like, yeah, we'll give tickets away for that. We got REO Speedwagon. We'll give some tickets away for that. So that is going to be the next kind of little wrinkle for, I'm going to say, pretty much every show that comes through. Whatever it is, concerts,
that's legit.
Comedians, live events, whatever's going on.
Rhett's Mutai.
We are going to be connecting you barn burner lovers with some tickets courtesy of the Grey Eagle Event Center. Go and check out their website, greyeagleresortandcasino.ca. All tickets for the events are available through Ticketmaster. And yeah, so that one's sold out. I saw that one online today. Whitney Cummings, Tuesday, April 25th. We'll have tickets for that one coming up. Hotel California, the original Eagles tribute.
Take it easy.
REO Speedwagon.
Do you have any other Hotel California songs that you'd like to regale us with?
Nope. One? Beatles tribute, Theory of a Dead Man, Queen tribute band coming up. And then how about this one in July? Relive the best of 90s R&B and hip hop with the I Love 90s tour.
Oh.
Vanilla Ice.
Yes.
Color Me Bad.
Whoa.
Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
CNC Music Factory.
Oh, oh baby.
I mean, it's
CNC Music Factory.
You're laughing all night.
It's amazing.
It's a, it, you know, that's, not that's to be disrespectful.
The nostalgia vibes.
It's as much a comedy show as it is a concert, really. Go to the website and check it out. All tickets for the Greg Eagle events on Ticketmaster.
CNC Music Factory. That's awesome.
So,
I remember staying up late at night listening to that Top 10 at 10 when I was supposed to be tucked into bed, hoping for a CNC Music Factory to hang in.
Was that Chris Shepherd?
Chris Shepherd, touching down in your town, Celebration Generation. I'm from Burlington, Ontario. Don't ask me about my accents.
If you're over 40, you get it. If you're not,
poor Jack's like, who? Captain Jack, what?
Some things we need to take care of, and we're going to wrap things. Well, we got a little bit of time here. But Outdoor Dental, I talked to Jay Patel, Dr. Jay, over at Outdoor Dental. You haven't booked in yet.
I was just
or you're under an alias or something.
I was just going to show up.
Because I said, well, I've heard from the Shoveler, and the snoring is out of control, and especially...
Well, I've seen the videos.
He was having bourbon last night, so you know, he was roaring when he got to
probably
bed.
Probably went to the chair he sleeps in last night.
It's very easy. You can go to their website, like outdoor.dental is their website. Or if you need a computer, then.
Did you get the internet on your phone or you turn that off too?
How does that work? You got that? It is, obviously, they're your full service dentist and they do that with the Soleil laser. There's no drills and hooks and chains and ropes.
The hell are you going?
You know, like probably your dentist, that you come in there and they got axes and they're smashing away with people and chisels and hammers and stuff. Not at Outdoor Dental. It's, you know what it is? They got some, they got like, it's little cameras, little computers, and they kind of go in there and it tracks it. It does all of the, you know, all the pictures and all the x-rays.
It's from the future, Dean.
It's like you're going to the future.
Yeah.
Truly is.
And stop going to that alley wherever that guy's selling you dentistry.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds horrible.
He hit him with a tire chain. Hit him with car keys. Snoring treatments, 2 15-minute treatments, increases the tension in the soft palate, reduces snoring, non-surgical, pain-free, and yeah, it's life-changing. Get that sleep. Imagine if, you know, instead of the good sleep you would be having if you were up through the night and say 2-3 in the morning and then you can't get back to sleep and then you go through your day and then you just do it over again and over again. Think of how irritable and rotten you'd be.
That sounds like a living hell, Dean.
Outdoor.dental, Dr. Jay Patel. Go and see him and his folks soon.
So it's my fault the Shoveler acts that way?
I don't know. It's possible. It is possible.
Rat, you're snoring again! Whack!
You asked before the show and... Now, Jack is, you mentioned Jack. Jack is, he's a Calder nominee. It's his rookie season here at Barnburner.
Strong campaign.
Strong one.
Don't get cocky.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you had said, see, when he starts talking about food, that's what, I mean, Warner just talks about food.
Listen to him, he's talking about
food. You brought it up to me, and I think, because it's Thursday, we're heading into the long weekend.
So pros.
These are... very important conversations to have. Why don't you ask Pinder or just throw it out to the viewers, listeners about not the dilemma, but just the huge decision that you have to make this week.
What I've been debating in my mind for the last few days while I sit alone at times, driving into work and stuff, is what is the proper menu for Easter Sunday, Easter weekend? You know, there's ham. I don't know if I'm feeling a turkey. Can you go with the prime rib roast? Ooh. Are you doing fillets?
I said to you, I'm kind of traditional that way. Some people don't like turkey. I love the turkey dinner.
Yes.
Mashed and gravy and bun, that whole thing. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. I like you. I'm not feeling turkey right now.
I'm just not sure. I love it. It's a staple. You know what you're getting. I'm not typically disappointed with it. I feel like I need something different.
And ham.
Ham's just ham.
I like ham.
Like ham.
But it's, but where, what else is it is coming
with? It's an add-on, yes. It's a lesser protein that you have I'll have a couple chunks of ham. That's good.
Yeah, you're going to have to crush all the sides if you're going feature ham.
That's like, one
it's
thing.
It's going to have to be incredible size.
That's one thing I think I've dropped the ball on lately is I can come up with the main, kind of the protein part, but my sides have really faltered. You know, yeah. Mashed and corn and peas and maybe a salad.
Needs to work on a starch can.
Need to up it up, up that side dish.
You know, it's gotten so bad for me because I do the cooking. The veg has just kind of broken down to me chopping up peppers and cucumbers and baby tomatoes. Carrot sticks, and you just, it's just like, it's a veggie plate.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's not going to work for Easter though.
It's easy, but I'm with you. But for Easter, I think it's gotta be beef. And that brings us to Bonton. I know it was last week we had all that Bonton food in here and those beef ribs, I took those home and I feel like those beef ribs, they get better by the day.
Yeah.
Jesus. I had it the next day. God almighty.
Well, they got some side dishes there, too. They got your starches as well.
So we talk a lot about the ribs and all that. It might be a roast. Low, slow. Get that beefy aroma in your house all day long.
I think it was a year ago. I did a prime rib roast on the rotisserie. And it was phenomenal. Like, right, as good as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth's sweating now. I'm looking at pictures. This isn't good.
What about a pasta to go on the side?
But pasta like at homemade, Easter? What? I don't know. I feel like it's spring vibes. I thought
Italians
it'd be light.
Aren't going to throw out some...
With like a pesto.
Yeah.
A pesto with like some orzo, small pasta.
A lighter sauce, a different... Yeah. Not a
heavy cream.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Mm. Asparagus?
Shrimp pesto?
Some grilled asparagus with some olive oil. Put some lemon on there.
I've had feta cracked with my asparagus grilled.
Did
asparagus.
You ever do the BV? Bacon wrapped asparagus.
I do the prosciutto,
the puck cheese, the Borzin.
Oh yeah.
You take the Borzin or the flavored cream
the
cheese.
Prosciutto's wrapped around.
Smear it on your prosciutto and then you wrap the prosciutto around the asparagus. And then you grill them, boys. Yeah, or you put them in the oven.
Oven them too. Yeah, sure.
Mm. And here's the thing, when it comes to beef. I think a lot of times you go to the grocery store. So what's, is this a good one?
I don't know.
Or am I going to be disappointed? Like, is this one going to be a doorstop when it's done? Am I just going to set it on the floor and not eat it? Is it like just heavy chunk of beef? There's nothing like that one. It just kind of, it falls apart. The crisp end, like the burnt ends, the hard ends on them. And then it just kind of falls apart. So you go to Bonton. So what's the one I want? Like there's prime rib, but what else is the sirloin tip and the chuck round the... I don't friggin' know.
Talk to them. They know, Dean.
I want a good one. What's a good one? Okay, so maybe a little, what's under that then? Help me. I just don't want to go to the store, buy some beef, and be like, I think it's good. Then you cook it, so this is that, one of those roasts.
got lots of gravy?
Get through the, yeah.
Lots of gravy.
God. So go and see Greg. Calgary tradition since 1921. We asked him the other day, hey, maybe be in the neighborhood.
We're in the hood.
Time, it's like, dude, it's Easter.
Oh, yeah.
No can do. We're slammed up.
Well, here. I'm coming to see you on Friday, Greg, so be prepared.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sources confirmed tomorrow.
Swag Rose Saturday for a wheel.
Look at you. And Masters on? Maybe. Weather.
So if you're like us, get Bonton in your medulla oblongata.
Right.
And get some of that good Bonton goodness in you this long weekend.
I'm going to make Italian wedding soup.
Really? I hear that's a big one. So what's the meatballs?
Little meatballs and a little pasta.
Is it? I was going to say, it's not barle. A
little spinachy in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
And what's the green?
Yeah, the spinach.
Is it spinach?
I think. Maybe escarole. I'm not sure, but I'm going to make that. Because I'm a big soup guy now.
Hmm. What's the weather? Is this a soup and
it's a
roast beef weekend?
I heard we were going to be over 20 on Sunday.
Maybe a salad. What about a salad? What about just some salads to go with that beef?
Well, we know about the potato salad up there, so there's that.
19 degrees on Monday here.
We got a lot to do.
This is barbecue season.
Can you imagine on Monday? Oh, it won't be this weekend. It's next weekend. It's like a playoff hockey.
Yeah, a week from Monday.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Wouldn't that be something?
Battle of Alberta, get your tickets. Let's
imagine
go.
If the playoffs were starting Monday and you were out on a patio and it was
barbecuing.
19 and I'm,
oh, yeah.
And my family's not home. And
someone's all together.
Who's happy. Watching the greenhouse while you're gone? Is it staffed? Have you outsourced the labor?
Come on, Green Drop. Take off.
No, no, no. Green Drop doesn't agree to
enough for you.
Brian.
They are doing enough for you.
It's going to be considerably nicer in Calgary this weekend than it is in Augusta, Georgia. 12 degrees, 100% chance of rain on Saturday, and like 50 to 90 millimeters.
Mike Commodore, we should phone him. He's down there.
That's right.
I don't know if he loves golf.
No,
like he loves it.
Golf. He's a nerd.
He's a golf nerd.
Yes. Yeah.
When his swing or something isn't right, everything else in life,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that there's a whole lot when it comes to commie.
I mean, it's golf.
I got to fix my swing right now.
I got a hitch.
Everything else is left just laying.
This is my father. It's like the one thing that you could, who is he with? Is he drinking tonight? What is he doing for workouts? Where are you in the world? The answer to all those is golf. Who are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
Everything's golf. Obsessed. That's commie.
It is commie.
So if he's playing well, if he's shooting low 70s, high 60s, greatest guy in the world. Don't be near him if he shoots 80.
He goes to all those too. Wasn't he at Waste Management? God, he loves it.
Wow, Waste Management, different vibe.
Yeah. I think it's probably, Commie's probably graduated to one of the suites on the stadium hole there. I don't think you need to be in the mosh pit or whatever they're calling it.
Stomp the Tom there. One over.
Oh, Corey.
He's a top 10 machine. Don't worry. This is funny because it's like, we're all like, oh, look, it's the Masters. But like, tomorrow's going to be fucking shitty. Saturday's going to be wet or canceled or both. Yeah, like,
you got a guy that's,
this tournament hasn't started yet.
The guy that's 8 under and then he's 8 over to finish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I meant to go change some of my picks based on the weather and did not. So good, I'll thinking. Be happily donating.
Good thinking.
Very nice.
I'm starving. Let's go.
A couple things I want to do before we go. Let's do our Betway bets of the day. Get the Betway app on your phone and be responsible.
Uh-huh.
But it does. It adds some enjoyment. It adds a little bit of, you know, it's a little puckering. I went with another Betway boost. I found one on the front page. I went in on the Betway app, and there it was. Avalanche, Bruins, Golden Knights.
That's a lot. I got to have to compute all that.
So Colorado is at San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
The Bruins are in Toronto, or a home to Toronto.
Guaranteed Wings night, yep.
And Vegas is home to the Kings.
Ooh.
Two of those three are juicy matchups. Potential first round
Jonathan
or
Quick.
Second rounds. Yeah.
Plus 400 for the.
Well, that's a big number for those. Jeez.
LA like beat Vegas? For sure. Do I love the Bruins, Toronto? No, but it's the Bruins.
It's the best team in the history of hockey.
So let's go. That's told. My Betway boost. I'm in. And then Nate Dogg and Pasta. One goal each, one or more. Just get one each. MacKinnon, Pasternak. One plus goals plus 175. MacKinnon's been good.
And of course, 100 points for the first time. Yeah. I mean, some are saying Nathan MacKinnon is almost as good as Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who also has 100 points. What a season. It's been wild.
Is it Sean Monahan or Nathan MacKinnon? Who would you rather?
Who's scoring more? Poor Sean.
He done.
God.
I feel like it's a 1 year low money, we'll see what he's got type thing that's left for him. This is not the. I'm into my final contract 8x8. Like,
he's going to have to go to a camp and win a job.
If he's healthy enough to do that.
Right? It's like you're saying 1 year low money. I think it's PTO. He's got to prove that he can.
I mean, let's say you're Carolina and you have.
He's got to consider whether this is worth it anymore.
Well, yeah. First off, are you healthy? Yeah. Can you show up and play? Number two, do you want to go through this again with the likelihood of, hey, each of what, 4 of your last 5 years have ended with injury? You want to do this again? And then three, it's like. Where's a fit? Who's going to roll the dice on you?
And
are you going to play for league minimum? Would you? If you've made $30 million.
That's just it. He's not poor.
No. Like, right? Do you want to show up for $800,000?
You're going to go play for none of my business. But that is a question with a guy that has millions of dollars in the bank. Well, is this worth? I hope it is in a way. I hope he feels good about the surgery and he's coming back and it's like, hey, I've got these things dealt with. But I think that's what's happened the last 4 or 5 years where, okay, I should be sorted out now.
As long as he didn't pour all his money into Retcoin or something like that a few years ago.
It's bouncing back.
I have a lot of upward pressure on Retcoin these days. My Betway bets, let's take a peek at those. I'm dialed into a couple interesting games. One seriously involving the Western wild card race. Let's take a look. Carolina at Nashville. Brett Burns, power play point. That's all, plus 240. If I say power play point and I say Brett Burns, is that like two things or is it, I think that's a natural? Are you kidding me?
He's definitely on the power play.
Plus, you know, Carolina's going to go in and knock the socks off the Preds unless they're completely hungover. We'll see how that one goes. Other wild card races in the East where the Florida Panthers suddenly hold one and are not chasing one. Ottawa, it's the Tkachuk Bowl. So I'm going Tkachuk parlay. They both score plus 300. Brady, Matthew,
Keith
watching.
Keith, Bud Lights.
Lots. I'm going to take the over on 7.5 light beers. And if they're drafts, that line moves to 5.5. I'm also taking the over. But more importantly, plus 300 if both Tkachuks score a goal. Tkachuk Bowl.
There you go. That's the Betway Bets of the day. Get that app on your phone. Play along. Enjoy it. Be 19.
That's the responsible way.
That whole thing. And we were talking about the long weekend. The show will be off tomorrow, back on Monday. Thanks across the board to all of our sponsors, all of our partners that have helped us get this thing off the ground and keep it off the ground. We're, what, hitting on the 6 month? We talked about it the other day.
The 11th will be 6 months. We're less than a week away from our half-year birthday. Are we out of diapers yet? No, we're still, three naps. We're shitting our diapers.
But it's an exciting time. We had our Christmas campaign. We've got our live event next week. We got stuff building. So we thank everybody for watching and listening and for the sponsors for coming on board. And I guess just a reminder, and enjoy the family this weekend. Wishing all of you to have a great long weekend. 5 years ago, I'm going to get emotional, the Humboldt Broncos tragedy 5 years ago today. Does that feel like 5 years?
Oh, God.
I just remember that sick feeling, and you can, I mean, obviously you can't imagine what it's like for the people that were involved, but just the hockey world and how everybody, you know, put their sticks out on the front step and thought of those kids. And you see Toby Boulay is Logan's dad. And remember, Logan was the guy he was with as a kid, organ donation, wanted his organs donated. And then that created kind of a wave of people getting on board and lives have been saved. Just enjoy your family. And think of their family as we all miss those kids. Saw the photo again this morning. Awful stuff. But keep them in your hearts this long weekend. Enjoy yours. Think of theirs. We'll see you next week. Thanks, buddies.
Oilers suck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.